And welcome to Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thanks so much for joining us every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. That's Richard Dugan, D-U-G-A-N.com. We encourage you to check out the website, go to our archives page as well, and you can listen to programs that we've had on before and get insights from our guests from the past 3 years, or nearly 3 years, as we've been doing this program. It's very exciting to come to you every Saturday at this time, whether we are live or pre-recorded, and inform you and educate you. I get an education in the process as well. And we also would like to hear from you. Send me an email, richard@richarddugan.com. That's richard@richarddugan.com. And we will certainly reply to you and also connect with you. And I'll even accept suggestions for possible guests. We're always wanting to see what your ideas are as far as some of the areas that we've been dealing with, new paradigms for a new world, and again, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. It's kind of hard sometimes to make those dreams come true when life is happening, when changes are all about you, and I believe that the saying is that the only constant in the universe is change. Well, today we're going to talk about how to navigate that constant. I don't know that you're necessarily going to need a compass or a sextant, but I think that we're going to get some good insights today. My guests, one of them is a returning guest. As a matter of fact, I haven't seen you on the other side of the console in almost 3 years. Frederick Elias, thank you so much for joining us.
You're welcome.
You are the author of one book that I'm aware of. I'm not sure if in the last 3 years you've written another one, but I Can, I Will, which I was just thrilled with just because of the idea of the fact that if you start saying I can, then you'll start doing it. Thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. It's great to be back.
And you brought with you a collaborator of sorts, if you will.
I sure have.
And Renee is her name. Renee, tell us, give us a little bit of information about you. And both of you actually are right here in Santa Barbara.
Well, actually in Camarillo.
Okay, close enough.
I am a certified Qigong instructor and also a student of Ayurveda and on the teacher's path at the Chopra Center for Well-Being.
That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, they're both 500-year-old ancient healing practices that I use for myself and I also teach to others.
And I'm curious, Frederick, are you now in the practice of Qigong? And
I tried Qigong, but I'm a little too stiff. I have to loosen up a little bit more. I got to get some flexibility in my life.
I know, same here. I'm with you on that one. I just went through a whole knee thing, and they're telling me, this is what you've got to do. And, oh, by the way, you also have a little arthritis in there. And I'm going, I don't think so. But nonetheless, flexibility is always good, especially when we're going to talk about navigating change. Without flexibility, it's going to be real hard because change is the twists and the turns in the road of life. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have some flexibility, you're going to end up careening over the side, you know, running into an embankment, using those euphemisms, if you will. There are short periods. Sometimes minutes, sometimes hours, maybe if we're lucky days, where things are running pretty smoothly. Life is good, and hey, what do I have to worry about? And then all of a sudden, what happens? Change.
And what happens when the yogurt hits the fan, so to speak? Well, I really think there are three strategies, and I want to keep it as simple as possible.
Okay.
Using that KISS principle. And the first strategy that I think is really important is to change your attitude and have a more positive attitude, which can help us deal with stress, as well as understanding the level of our own effectiveness. In other words, what are we really capable of doing? What is our ability? And also being in charge of our own life and having more control is a really important step. And I use an acronym called CALM. C-A-L-M. Mm-hmm. The C stands for you can change your situation. You don't have to allow the same four-wall environment to dominate what it is that you're doing in your life. Mm-hmm. The A stands for, Richard, accept the reality and realize you have alternatives because there's always something else that we can do. The L stands for you've got to let go of negativity, negative emotions, negative people, and negative situations. And that's a real tough one. But, you know, when the going gets tough, the tough have to get going in this process. And the last one, the M stands for manage your lifestyle and master your communication. I think this is an essential first step in learning about changing your attitude. Renee, what's your suggestion?
Well, mine is changing your attitude about how you're viewing change in general, learning ways to become more comfortable with it, and letting go of fears that it's always bad. So learn to embrace it and look at it from more of a creative aspect, where it can be exciting, it can be expansive, and it can have endless opportunities if you can get your head wrapped around that and looking at it that way. So if you can change your perception of it, it has huge personal growth that it allows you with every change. And like you were saying, Richard, change is part of life.
Mm-hmm.
Change is happening all around us all the time. And if we can become comfortable with that feeling and knowing that it's okay, we don't have to have all the answers right then and there, and we're going to be all right. And what I was realizing this morning is our biggest battle is the war that we're waging in our head about change and that attachment that we have to what that change is going to bring about for us.
And sometimes even if we accept the fact that, yes, change is a part of life, many of us fear it, then we start worrying about it. And I've heard that it's somewhere between 80 and 90% of what we worry about never happens anyway, but change does happen, but not necessarily the way we think it's going to happen.
Right.
So that's a big issue as well that we can expound on. So are we on step one or step two? Did Renee just give us
that
an expansion of step one?
Step one expansion.
Okay. Yeah. We're going to talk about steps two and three is when we come back from our break. And we're going to talk more with Renee and Frederick here on Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. We encourage you to stay with us and we encourage you to get in touch with us. Richard at RichardDugan.com and Renee and Frederick are both linked on the website, RichardDugan.com. Stay with us. We have more to come. Tell me your story. New paradigms for a new world. I'm Richard Dugan, your host. Thank you so much for joining us here and every Saturday from 3 to 4 p.m. Pacific time. And we do stream live on the internet at richarddugan.com. We encourage you to check out the information that's available from all of our guests, including our guests in studio today, Frederick Elias and Renee Musser. And now, Frederick, you have a website that people can go to not only get information about you, and you are a business and personal coach.
Mm-hmm.
Also about your books, I Can, I Will.
Right.
And then you also have a CD package that's available.
Maximum Impact Strategies for Life Fitness.
Okay. Which is important. And again, we're not necessarily speaking when you're saying life fitness about going out and, like you were talking about getting flexible, wasn't so much the physical flexibility that you're talking about.
I'm talking about physical fitness, emotional fitness, mental fitness, spiritual fitness, and financial fitness.
Ah, okay.
I'm talking about all five different areas in the Maximum Impact CD set.
And where can they find out about that and the other information and materials you have?
They can go to Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or just to my site, FrederickElias.com.
Okay.
And, you know, or ICanIWill.com, the name of the book.
Okay.
And if they want to know more about my coaching area, they can go to IronCoaching.com.
IronCoaching.com.
Iron Coaching, that's right.
Doesn't hurt, does it?
Doesn't hurt.
Okay. No, I was going to say,
Iron Coaching. We'll be gentle, Richard.
Okay. Okay. But I have a feeling that the only way you're going to have flexibility when it comes to Iron Coaching is if you go through the fire.
Well,
in a manner of speaking.
We really talk about a game plan for life, first mm-hmm. of all, knowing the different domains of your purpose mm-hmm. and the vision that you need to set for yourself. And that really is part of change, is mm-hmm. knowing your vision and knowing what mission and how long you want to take to accomplish something of that nature. So a game plan for life is really important in the coaching process.
Oh, yeah.
And the second point, the second strategy that I think is really important is to be able to be flexible enough to change your environment. And what I mean by that is sometimes you just have to change your living space. And that may mean moving. That may mean getting out of where you're living and going someplace else and changing your surroundings or being able to, if you're confused or you're feeling overwhelmed with change, maybe go to the gym and exercise. You know, that's really important. And I found that to be particularly important for myself, is getting out there, going to the gym, exercising for 1 or 2 hours, going to a park, doing something that's healthy. And also to change your social sphere of influences. In other words, many of the listeners right now know people. Well, maybe there are people that they need to know. Maybe there are other people in their lives that they need to get to know. Somebody different, somebody new, somebody interesting, someone else that can give them a different perspective of different business opportunities, for example. Such as job or relationship changes. Many people are going through job and relationship changes. At the same time, they're going through other changes, and it's really important to focus on how can we transition in our relationships and in our jobs to a new job or to a different job that can be just as effective if we overcome the fear. I think Renee has a lot to say about this. Renee?
What I have to say is that that the loss could be a new beginning. So it's, again, just looking at our perspective on it, and that job that you may have just lost or the relationship that is ending, if you really were truthful with yourself or sitting there, was it something that you knew was in the process anyhow, and maybe you were, because of your comfort level with change, you didn't want to make or initiate the change. So then all of a sudden it becomes forced on you. And it just being, taking a moment just to kind of breathe and sit with it and to know that you don't have to make a hasty, quick decision. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's okay. And it's basically about being truthful with yourself about the opportunities that could be coming in because of the change. And it seems like, as I was sitting thinking about it, is that we seem to prejudge and label change, whether it be good or bad or acceptable or devastating. And letting go of that thought process could be huge in the healing process for yourself. So we can let go of feeling like it's hopeless or we're helpless in the midst of the change.
What's brought to mind is my first divorce. And I remember that the day I was served, I was sitting at work. And the gentleman came in and was asking where this individual was. And stupid me, I said, right here. And he handed me this envelope. And I'm going, what the heck is this? You know, and of course, I open it up. And it turns out at the time, I did not know that a divorce proceeding is a lawsuit. I didn't know that at the time. So I get the lawsuit papers, as it were. I was actually devastated to the extent where for the entire month of May of that year, I was just an emotional wreck. I couldn't focus in none of this. However, on the day I was served, which was May 1st, I was actually able to humorously say, holding the papers in my hand, saying, you know, this gives a whole new meaning to the phrase Mayday. You know, I mean, that was the best I could do. But once I was able to get out of the emotional quicksand.
And the toxicity.
Exactly. Because the more you're in that, the more toxic it becomes.
Right.
And it perpetuates. And it wasn't that anybody was feeding me that stuff. I was doing it to myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I was going through this morning. It's the battle that we're waging in our minds.
Mm-hmm.
It's what we're creating.
Yeah.
And what we realize, once we realize that it has nothing to do with what's going on the outside,
mm-hmm.
it's all coming from within us and what we're telling ourselves this change means. You know, oh my God, this could be this, this could be that. And until we can kind of go ahead and change the way that we're looking at it,
yeah,
you know, it doesn't open up that possibilities for.
And until I reach the end of that 30-day period, or 31-day period, I got into June, and all of a sudden the intellectual light bulb went off, or went on, I should say. And I was then able to see how, in spite of what I was being told by her attorney about my responsibilities, it was in June when I finally realized, wait a minute, a marriage is consisting of two people, and even if they're divorcing, they both have responsibilities. And I began to realize that, yes, they're right, I do have certain levels of responsibility, but so does she. And so I began to get into the problem-solving mode. I was able to get out of the emotions.
Mm-hmm.
And
that's a good point, by the way.
Yeah.
I mean, I think if we look at dealing with change and going into maybe more of a even a goal-setting or a problem-solving mode, mm-hmm. like you're suggesting, Richard, I mean, that can take the focus off the fear. The
mm-hmm.
fear diminishes when we set more goals and look at how can I solve this problem? And it may be one problem at a time, taking it a step at a time, a little bit at a time, not trying to accomplish, you know, a whole mountain full of issues or problems at once, because that can become overwhelming.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that can be disastrous. And we don't want to frame change in a disastrous way. We want to start changing, you know, and looking at framing change in a more positive way, more of a proactive way here,
yeah.
rather than a reactive way, because that reactiveness starts to create the release of all sorts of chemicals in our body that creates the stress. So let's release the endorphins, not the stress chemicals.
Yeah.
So we can have more of a clear mind on what and how am I going to deal with these particular changes, you know, one at a time.
You know, it would be nice if people had been doing that for years in terms of understanding the differences between those two aspects of dealing with change and wanting to come out the other side of that change with a better result than what they might have. Because from the information that I've gathered over the years, when you start generating stress in your body, you're starting to do all kinds of additional harm to your physical body, mm-hmm. least of which is actually gaining weight, you know, let alone the potential of ulcers and nervous tension and all these other things. You start adding more physical mass to your existing mass. And then it makes it even more difficult for you to get around. You know, you're hauling an extra 5 or 10 or 15. And I can tell you, from hauling 50-pound bags of chicken feed down a hill to our hens, when I put that extra 50 pounds on my shoulder, it is not easy to walk. And I'm lucky I get to take it off my shoulder. But when you stress yourself out, it's going to take a while.
And when you stress yourself out, sometimes you don't know or believe that you have the power to let go of the bags.
Yeah.
Let go of the weight. Let go of the guilt. Let go of all of this crap that is just, you know, surrounding you
mm-hmm.
and preventing you from moving forward in a positive way.
Mm.
And that's what, you know, many times in business, that's what has to happen. And one of the key points, the last strategy
mm-hmm.
that we're talking about here is what you're suggesting, having a certain degree of knowledge and education about the process of change. In other words, you have to stay ahead of the trends. Knowledge is power. Know what is going on with your industry. Know your core competencies. And what I mean by understanding your core competencies is to know your special areas, your area of specialization, so you can focus in certain areas. But one other thing, Richard, that we have to understand is we have to realize that there are changes in federal and state laws, and there are also product changes that we have to keep abreast of. And when we understand what the product changes are, how does it affect your business? In other words, how does product changes affect what you do? I mean, if I don't learn new computer programs, or if I don't understand how to do certain things on the computer, I'm going to be less effective as a lecturer, as a professor.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of that kind of, let's keep up with the changes and learn it a little bit at a time. That's really interesting, because I once met the Dalai Lama and I was talking to him. He was actually sitting right next to me. It was at UC Irvine about 7 years ago. And I asked the Dalai Lama, I said, what can we do to give of ourselves and to be more helpful for the world? And he said to me, whatever you do, a little bit at a time. and give of yourself altruistically. In other words, give of yourself and don't expect anything in return. And that's stuck with me.
Yeah.
Doing things a little bit at a time. So many of us are programmed or have, you know, people have tried to program us and said, okay, you got to go and make these big changes.
Yeah.
You got to do something huge. You know, you got to take that giant leap. Not necessarily.
Yeah.
Sometimes taking a small step in making a change can create a huge climate of success.
Mm-hmm. Right? Absolutely.
Well, I take the approach on it as going more within and learning adapting skills, like writing down what's going right in your life and focusing on that more than what's going wrong and understanding that you're a co-creator in this life. If you're looking at all the laws of attraction or the seven spiritual laws of success, you'll see that we actually are bringing in, or we're great contributors to what we are receiving in our life, and releasing our judgment about whether it's acceptable type change or whether it's a devastating one, and even if it's forced or chosen. And the way that I'm looking at it is that to go into more of a present moment awareness, not letting your mind run away with you. The change begins when your awareness of your current situation begins to shift to a place of that it's bringing in something very worthwhile and strongly potential for you. So like I've heard a million times, and you probably all too, where the past is history, the future is a mystery, and this moment is your gift, the present.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to learn to treat it that way,
yeah.
That it is a gift and it is a present, and to embrace that more.
I have to say that because this came to mind as we were talking earlier, in terms of changing your perspective, I went through, strangely enough, I'm still talking about my divorce, but this is the first time I've talked about it in a long, long time. I was deposed. I had to appear at a deposition. And after the fact, of course, I found out that it cost me $140 of my attorney's time.
Mm-hmm.
But it was the best $140, I look back now, that I ever spent. She gave me some clues on how to present myself in the deposition. And what was nice was the fact that the guidelines that she gave me had to do with answering questions. And it wasn't because I said, do I have to answer? Oh, yes, you do. You cannot plead the fifth in a deposition. You have to answer the mm-hmm. questions. So, okay. And so she gave me all these wonderful guidelines. And so I went into the deposition scared. There was some fear there. But I was at the place where I was still more in my head than in my fear. And so I went through the hour and a half of a deposition, and I walked out of there feeling just awful. Not like I had lost, but it's mm-hmm. just I was just I, like I'd been wrung out like a dish rag.
Right.
And she turned to me in the parking lot. She says, I have never seen anybody cause an attorney to twist in the wind like you did. Because of the fact that when he would ask me a question, some of the responses that I would give would be along the lines of, I'm sorry, I didn't understand the question. Could you repeat the question? Could you be more specific? And on and on and on and on. Just to irritate the bejeebers out of this guy. I always answered the question, but I wasn't going to make it easy for him. And so that's why I look back and say it was the best $140 of entertainment value for me when I look back on it. So when you talk about changing your perspective, I mentioned before we went on the air about how we're all looking at a particular event inside this circle and that we are points on the circle. Mm-hmm. And of course, that's what you want to try to start doing is instead of us as individuals on that circle, you want to change your position on the ring of that circle to change your view, your perception of that event, that change, to get a better understanding maybe. And again, maybe go to more into your head and get out of your emotions. Say, oh, I didn't see that from the other side. I didn't know that was even there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, wow, what? So that's when you start seeing the opportunities.
Right.
The possibilities.
Right. Well, you have to get yourself out of your own way
mm-hmm.
because you're the one that's making all the obstructions and you're creating all of this in your head, basically.
Yeah. Frederick, let me ask you, in terms of navigating change, if you can share with us, in your lifetime, can you point out one of the biggest changes that you have had to go through?
Yeah, sure. I had heart surgery. Actually, I had two heart surgeries, one in 2006 and one in 2007. And I had to learn how to change my lifestyle and my food intake, my nutrition, my exercise, and also changing the way I looked at my own death.
Really?
Sure. And so, you know, I have to admit that it was in the beginning when I first heard that I had coronary artery disease and diabetes and all of these other, you know, interesting diseases, as they call them. It's a disease. It's an imbalance mm-hmm. in your system. I had to change my perspective on what I wanted to do for the rest of my life. I mean, when you're hit with a doctor telling you we're not sure if you're going to make it,
yeah.
I mean, it's time to change. And you got to think about what is it that you want to change into,
right?
From what to what.
Mm-hmm.
And so I moved. I moved from Santa Barbara. I lived in Santa Barbara for 25 years, which I love Santa Barbara. And I moved down to Camarillo because it's closer to where I work. Camarillo is a nice place to live. But I also had to change my exercise routines. Mm. I exercise a minimum of 3 times a week in the gym. I eliminated all red meat from my diet.
Mm.
And so, I mean, there are different things. And I've also, you know, been listening to what Renee is talking about, Ayurvedic medicine, and to see how that can really help me. And in different ways of actually cleaning out the toxicities in my own system, my own body, how important that is, and how to put back into my body, you know, life-giving nourishment in the way of different kinds of ingredients through Ayurveda. And it's been a real interesting process for me, and it's also changing my mind at the same time. So as I change my body, I've been changing my perspective, and as I change my perspective, I've been changing my mind. So that, Richard, was really the first major change. I mean, you know, everybody moves. Everyone has, you know, death in the family. You know, one time, you know, last year, my mother passed away in September. That was a major change for me.
Yeah.
I was very close to my mother. My mother was my friend, not just my mother. And mm-hmm. losing my mother was traumatic for me. So I went through amazing spiritual changes and physical and emotional changes. And any of the listeners here that have lost a close loved one, whether it be a mother or a father or a grandmother or a grandfather or a sister or a brother or a son or mm-hmm. a daughter, know what I'm talking about, that you go through changes. And this is a natural thing. This is a natural process of life. And it's, you have to, as Renee was saying, embrace the change. It's hard at the time because it really stinks. I mean, it's like, yeah. I feel horrible.
Mm-hmm.
I feel lonely. I feel, you know, depressed. I feel, when is this horrible dark cloud over my head going to disappear? You know, and you have to look within yourself and you have to ask yourself, what can I do to, you know, hold on to the positives, hold on to the memories, and really start living my life as if my mother or my father or my sister or my brother would have wanted me to live my life.
Mm-hmm.
And how can I help others go through their journey in a way that's not as traumatic as maybe your journey has been?
Yeah.
So that really was a major change, a couple of major changes for me, was my own physical life changes through heart operations. And, you know, losing one of the closest persons that I've ever had in my life, which was my mother.
Yeah. Wow. Renee, what about you?
Well, I've had several changes. I'm in the transitioning part right now in my life. But before we were talking earlier about an experience that I had about 10, 11 years ago, which was a near-death experience, or as I like to refer to it now, more of an awakening opportunity for me. And if I want to move out of the negativity part of it. And it was just about learning the messages that our bodies are telling us all along the time and how we need to be aware of what it is that we're receiving and the information that's coming in and what can we do with that. And basically what I do is just learn different skills, different things that I can bring in that's going to make me be more comfortable with allowing the change, because I realized that I had completely detached from my body and was just busy giving to everyone else and didn't realize that it had to come from within first. I have to give to myself first, and then from that place, send outward.
It always seems that we're able on the other side of the change to start looking at those positive things, but it's on the front side of the change that we're talking about trying to do that from the front side so that we can, as we've kind of dubbed this program, Navigating Change, mm-hmm. so that we can better navigate it, so that we can not necessarily get through it faster.
No, not faster.
Yeah, it's being more comfortable in the moment.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you talk about being in the moment. And at this particular moment, I want to remind our listeners that this is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and we come your way every Saturday at 3 p.m. And we encourage you to listen in and tune in and listen to the archives of this program and others. As I watch the recordings that I do, there is a white line that, for the most part, it sits right where the audio is created. On the left side, you see the sound wave that's been created. Our voices have already been recorded, and they've been placed in the file. On the right side, there's nothing. There's silence. There's no creation yet. But it's right at that line that is what we would call the now moment.
Mm-hmm.
But one of the things that occurred to me was, even though it's an infinitesimally small increment of time, if I'm hearing it, it's no longer the now moment,
mm-hmm.
because I'm hearing it. And so it's like, boy, you really have to focus. Like when I look at that line, you really have to focus on that now moment, that white line right there at that instant when things are being created. And it becomes really hard sometimes because you have so many distractions, as you quoted the phrase about the future and about the past.
Right.
You know, what are some techniques that we can use to try to stay in the moment, in the now, here?
Oh, what I basically do, I do a lot of meditation.
Mm-hmm.
I also practice Qigong, and I do a lot of spiritual reading, and I also try to learn from everything it is that I bring in. And right now, the future out there looks kind of scary with all the financial things that are going on. If you're watching the news, what have you, which I try to limit mm-hmm. as much as possible. And what you need to do is, I look at it as the universe is conspiring in our best efforts right now to keep us in the present moment. Don't look too far out into the future.
Mm-hmm.
Just be looking at what can I do right now, and maybe if it's really a tough time right now, maybe all you can do is, how am I going to get through this next half hour?
Mm.
And then it's the next hour, mm-hmm. maybe the next day or to the night, that type of thing. And just sitting with it, and if you sit with it and just, sounds crazy, just breathe in, mm-hmm. because most of us are shallow breathers and we're not taking in that oxygen, that allows you to calm. And through that calmness, you can find solutions mm-hmm. that you would not have been able to see otherwise if you're staying in the turmoil of all the confusion that's going around the change.
Mm-hmm. And Frederick, I'm understanding that breathing is a technique used by many different practices to help keep us in that moment, because they literally tell you to focus on the inhale and the exhale. You know, not the last one or the next one, but the one that you're in. Feel it. I mean, just become one with that process. That puts you right in the now moment.
I went on a pilgrimage in 1975 to Greece and to the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And I lived basically in monasteries for 7 months. And I learned that in the stillness of the silence that I encountered in the monasteries was in fact like being in the moment of a breath. And the chanting of the monks continually chanting, basically put me in a framework of peace and calm and serenity. And that being in that space for me was really important, because that helped me deal with all sorts of other conflicts and disturbances and made me become aware of the inner turmoil that was going on inside of me. So it was through the chanting and being in the monasteries that calmness, that ritual, so to speak, helped me become more aware of the inner turmoil so I could deal with the outer turmoil. And the other way that I focus on as much as possible the present, and everybody here being in Santa Barbara, being so close to the ocean, go down and just watch the waves on the shore.
Yeah.
And that's all you have to do. And just sit there for an hour or 2 hours or 3 hours and discipline yourself in watching the waves break on the shore. And just breathe in and breathe out and just focus on the beauty that surrounds us. Or if you're in nature, or in the woods, or in the forests, you know, focus on the sounds. Focus on, you know, a tree. Do something that is healthy for you.
Yeah.
And, you know, still your mind. Still your mind and still, you know, it's really interesting. I was talking to Renee this morning, and she was talking about all the different changes that she was experiencing this morning. And I said, you know, the Buddhists, you were mentioning Buddhists earlier, Richard, they have a phrase called Maya. And Maya basically means illusion. And if you think about all of that, which is going on around us, I mean, a lot of it is illusion because, you know, the most important aspect of what we're doing is to be giving of ourselves unconditionally to each other, to give something back to the planet. And I would, you know, challenge those who are listening to us. What are you giving back to your families? What are you giving back to your planet, to the place that you live? That's giving you the life-giving oxygen from the atmosphere that we're experiencing. What are you giving back? It kind of reminds me of the phrase, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
Yeah.
Similar to John Fitzgerald Kennedy's phrase. You know, that's basically what we have to ask ourselves. What can we give back?
Yeah.
Not what do we want? What can I take? You know, all the takers out there, like you were suggesting earlier, we've seen it in business. Yeah. We've seen the changes going on. We've seen CEOs leaving their positions and going out and working in fields and planting corn and going back to nature. Why? Why are people that are making $400, $500, $1 million a year, $2 million, $10 million, why are they leaving their jobs and going back to a more simpler form of life? Why are they changing?
You know, and I would add to that, because I've kind of done this throughout my career, I will do little side projects for people. They want to record this, they want to record that. And when I first started doing that, I was more interested in doing the work than I was in charging them exorbitant amounts, especially because most of the people I was dealing with didn't have exorbitant amounts. And people used to tell me, family and friends used to tell me that I was undercutting myself. And I said, well, yeah, but I would rather do the work for the little amount than not do the work at all and charge the bigger amount, because they're not going to hire me. And so I've kind of stuck with that. And so when you were talking about these CEOs and just people in business in general, my question would be, when you're doing a job for somebody for the 50 or 100,000 or whatever it is, whatever the huge salary that you or fee that you charge, and you're giving it your all and you're putting the quality work into it, would you put the same quality of work into it if you received nothing?
Actually, you need to charge something.
It isn't much a question of charging or not charging. It's a question of the individual mentality saying, it doesn't matter what I make or what I earn for it, I'm going to put the quality into it. I'm going to put my all into it. I agree with you, yes, that there has to be an exchange. The universe requires an exchange.
That's a matter of integrity.
Right.
Okay, we're talking about integrity, morals, and ethics.
Right.
Okay, now, a partner of mine in the coaching, in Iron Coaching, said to me, he goes, well, you want to be able to make money, and you want to be able to, you know, charge your clients what you need to charge them, because you want to take some of that money, whether it be 10 or 20%, and tithe back to the church or whatever spiritual organization.
Right.
So if I'm not making money, how can I give money back That's true. Help others? How can I give money to those individuals in Chile or, you know, people that are hungry that need to eat food? Mm-hmm. You know, it's really interesting, the food brigade that actually Tony Robbins has going on at the Robbins Foundation. I mean, this year I actually donated a couple of $100 to the food brigade because I wanted to feed five families.
Yeah.
Okay, I may not be able to feed 500 families, but I know five families or 10 families are not going to go without eating at Thanksgiving.
Right, right.
And that's the kind of the approach that we need to take. We need to take an approach. What can I do? So, I mean, you know, I think that you have to, in order to, you can't give more than you got.
That's right.
The more you got, the more you give. The more you give, the more you get back. That's just one of life's immutable laws.
So I think that one of the things that when we're talking about change, when we're talking about change, it's number one, we know it's the constant of the universe. We know that we need to change our perspective and we need to make the adjustments. Now, you said something, I think it was either in your first or second step about making changes within your life.
Changing the environment.
Changing the environment. But you also talked about changing the people in your life, so to speak.
That's right.
I remember saying this to somebody and they didn't quite understand it. We have, just as human beings, the freedom of association as much as the freedom of disassociation. So if you have relationships that aren't serving you, you have the right to discontinue them. And there's nothing wrong with that.
No, nothing wrong.
But people don't want to do that. They say, oh, no, I can't. That would be nice.
That would mean they would have to make a change, and that could be, you know, frightening. That could be, you know, changing also means going into the unknown.
Yeah.
The unknown areas. And a lot of times people are uncomfortable in the unknown area.
Renee, give us your observations.
Yeah, there is a lot of uncomfortableness around not knowing. Mm-hmm. And there again, it's about being more comfortable with that and knowing that that can really be a huge opportunity for you.
I mean, if you're already uncomfortable because the change that's happening in your life. So, I mean, to then make these little changes because of the change in life, you're already uncomfortable. So what's a little more uncomfort?
Right.
If that's a word.
But it's the fear. It's the fear of not knowing, not... And it's so strange because it's the fear of not knowing what that change is going to bring about.
Okay.
But we really have no control over what's coming in anyhow.
Yeah.
We think, or we're under the illusion that we have some type of a control, but we don't. So it's just being, just being more comfortable and I think becoming more aware of what we're really here to do.
Yeah.
What was our purpose?
That's a very good point. What is our purpose? Right now, our purpose is to take a short break. We'll be back. This is Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World. I'm Richard Dugan, along with Frederick Elias and Renee Musser, and we will be back in just a moment.
If we leave here today, we could be 1,000 miles away. Take to that road, see how ocean road, all the countries in our bones, all the trouble that you know empties out as you go.
Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. I'm Richard Dugan, your host, and I'm in studio with Frederick Elias and Renee Musser, and we are talking about navigating through change. Sometimes they are the high seas. Change can definitely do that to you, and sometimes you feel like you are going through, if I can use another cliche, going through the perfect storm that will then capsize your boat, tossing you into the drink, and you wonder if you're going to drown or float to shore somewhere. And
oops, I forgot the life jacket.
And nobody else is out there to help you. As a matter of fact, it brings to mind that couple that they were diving, and the boat left.
I remember that.
And they were out there by themselves. I mean, you want to talk about change from a certain amount of feeling secure. Oh, I've got the boat is up there and there's an and we're going to be high and dry shortly and it's going to be great to you surface and it's like nothing. And you're out in the middle of the ocean. And I have to say that I've never had that kind of feeling, but I remember on a cruise ship at night, the moon was out and I was out on deck and I was looking at the horizon line and it actually curved. But I got to thinking about how microscopic I felt and that if I had fallen into the water or jumped into the water, how tiny I would be and almost virtually invisible to the rest of the world. And there's a change for you to really be invisible in that respect. And nobody knows you're gone. Nobody knows you're there out in the middle of this vastness. It's profound in many ways. Before we wrap up our program, I want to ask the both of you, I didn't ask this question of you the last time you were on the program because, well, quite honestly, I didn't have the question at the time, but I do now. Yeah, the worried look on your face there, Frederick. You've done a lot of things in your life. You've made it through a lot of changes and so forth.
I have, yeah.
Why this now? Why the I Can, I Will? The CD, the working together with Renee and this process of dealing with change, the coaching, why this, why now?
People are going through a lot of pain. And I think one of my missions is to give back as much as possible while I'm here on this planet. It really is my purpose, is to really educate, empower, and inspire people to do the most and the best that they can do while they're here on this planet. And I think that if I can help them overcome the debilitating aspects of change, or as you say, being left in the ocean. Mm-hmm. I mean, those listeners right now that are saying, wow, I need a job, or I need, you know, I feel like my job just disappeared. What am I going to do? What? I have a mortgage, or I have rent, or I have food. What can I do? I mean, as Renee was saying, that I think is very important, don't panic.
Yeah.
Don't panic, you know? I mean, start treading water.
Yeah.
Start breathing in deeply and really start looking at how that change of their attitude and their environment is so important to really combating some of these immediate feelings of panic and uncertainty.
Yeah.
Because the panic and uncertainty really, if it grips us, it can paralyze us.
Yeah. And you do nothing.
And then what do? You don't do anything.
And you sink.
You know, and you don't want to sink.
No.
You want to keep treading water.
Yeah. Do what you know, I think, is a way to put it, too. And do what you know until you know more.
Exactly. Yeah. Do what you know, whatever that happens to be, do something. And if it means sitting down and setting goals, and that's one of the things that I really practice in the coaching business that I'm in Iron Coaching, is helping people set their goals and accomplish their goals. If you're setting goals that are too broad or too much or vague or unspecific, it's going to be very difficult to accomplish them. And I've seen thousands of students, Richard, literally thousands. I mean, I've taught over 30, 40,000 students in my lifetime so far. And I noticed that when a student accomplishes a goal, whether it be a graduate student or an undergraduate student, when they accomplish their goal, they feel good about themselves. And when they feel good, as Renee was discussing, those release of chemicals in your body decreases your stress and starts increasing your momentum. And so I really am in the business of helping people increase their momentum and moving forward. And that's what really is my, I think, my purpose and why at this particular time in my life I'm talking about these issues such as managing and dealing with change.
I think it's excellent. Renee, same question to you.
My purpose?
Why this, why now?
Why this, why now? Because of all of the uncertainty, all the doubts, all the fears, and all the insecurity that's going on out there right now. And I just had heard about a father that had lost his job and was looking for work for the last couple of months. And he took his two daughters to school and he dropped them off. And when he went back home, he decided to end his life. And so if there's something that I could say that may be helpful to someone so that they see that that's not what their purpose in life was, and that that job was who they were, and that it's okay. You know, they're going to be all right. They're going to get through that. Mm-hmm. And I look at it as we're all in this together, and that only by supporting one another are any of us going to be able to get to where it is that we're going, or what it is we came here to do. So I look at it as from a position of oneness, mm-hmm. that we're all here to support one another. And I was thinking, you know, like they say, we each have a gift or a unique talent. And what I was thinking the other day was it's more of a truth or a message that we each hold, and that it's all a little piece of a puzzle. And by each one of us coming together and connecting, can we see the clear picture of what it is that we're here to do?
Absolutely. I would add to that, as I've said many times on this program, that if we were intended to live solitary lives, there are certainly enough planets in the universe that each one of us could occupy one. However, if you look around you, we're all here, which gets me reasoning that then we must be here to work together collectively to help one another through. Mm-hmm. We're all in this together, and that's just the way that it is. So I thank you both for joining us on the program.
Oh, thank you, Richard. Yeah.
And to get in touch with you, Frederick, how do they do that?
They can go once again to FrederickElias.com or ICanIwill.com or IronCoaching.com.
Okay. And Renee, how can people get in hold of you?
I'm on Qigong.com/Renee is the best way to get a hold of me.
Okay. And we'll have those links on our website. I'm Richard Dugan, and this has been Tell Me Your Story, New Paradigms for a New World, giving you choices and knowledge of those choices to help make your dreams come true. We encourage you to join us next Saturday and every Saturday at 3 p.m. Pacific time, and also check out the archives on the website, richarddugan.com. Until next Saturday, love to all.